conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. Today we'll focus on the invasion of America, which is entirely due to the fanatical, illegal funding and actions of the lawless Biden administration and its handlers and masters, along with ongoing discussion of issues related to election integrity. Joe Biden's family members have spent many years reaping millions from shady business deals with individuals and entities with ties to the highest levels of communist Chinese government intelligence organizations, as well as from many other people, companies, and governments around the world. It's obvious from all the evidence that surfaced, including Joe's son's Hunter's statement that Hunter had to give half of everything he made to Pop, that Joe Biden has been involved in appalling corruption over the years. But this evidence of corruption pales in comparison to the terrible, corrupt weaponization of our government to silence and destroy Biden's critics and political opponents, which you're all well aware of. Thus, Joe Biden is free to continue his work on behalf of his masters and bring ruin and chaos to America. How have they been able to do this? Consider that they've had 8 years of Clinton, 8 years of Obama, and now almost 4 years of Biden to plant left-wing operatives in the government. Again, as always, I am in no way advocating any kind of violence or illegal behavior when I criticize people and warn of impending disaster for us, given the course of current events. Remember, that's what the opposition wants you to do, so they can skillfully use it as propaganda against Trump and his supporters. Don't fall into that trap. And it does no good anyway. No real good for anyone. This was all too evident with the January 6, 2021 events at the nation's capital. While I could sympathize with those poor souls actually supporting Trump and calling for Stop the Steal of the 2020 election, while being spurred on by agent provocateurs in the crowd and duped into illegally breaking into the building, what they did was wrong. And they have paid dearly for it. That being said, Joe Biden is, as conservative commentator Mark Levin has observed, a pathological liar and always tells us what he wants us to hear and believe while doing the bidding of his masters, which is often the opposite of what he says. But Biden knows that whatever he claims, he'll be backed up by the American establishment, including the establishment media, which holds sway over many millions of our citizens. Let's not forget that As a communist Chinese official recently stated, American and Chinese economies are closely intertwined. With trillions of dollars sloshing around between China and the USA, totalitarian influence over us is extensive and dramatic. Why do you think that the Biden administration continues helping Hamas and its controller, Iran, close ally of China? With much of the American government, financial and other societal institutions firmly backing and otherwise under the influence of Joe Biden and his handlers, as they continue moving forward with their plans to radically transform America, those of us not under their spell or influence are truly in a world of hurt. As Donald Trump said recently, we're in hell. Hell. I say this knowing that there are still many good, caring Americans in our government trying to do and doing the right things to help protect and support us. Biden's controllers, supporters, and influencers include left-wing billionaire George Soros, Larry Fink, head of BlackRock, the world's largest asset management firm, and a director of the World Economic Forum, which worships communist China and totalitarianism, and has told us we will own nothing and be happy slaves as we in America and Europe welcome a billion refugees from all over the world into our countries by 2030. It also includes Mark Zuckerberg, the social media giant, big tech giant, and Microsoft founder Bill Gates, the old friend of communist China, along with Communist Chinese Party leader Xi Jinping, whose government, as I noted, has funneled millions into the Biden family's pockets for leverage over him. Although the official narrative of Joe Biden and the American establishment is that Trump stole the 2016 election with the aid of Russia, with zero evidence of this preposterous claim, there is, as you know, a preponderance of evidence that the 2020 election and to a considerable extent the 2022 election were stolen by those wanting to install Biden in the White House, including the CCP. I have to admit that I, at least up to this point, have no hard evidence of any real censorship or persecution of me, with all my efforts at exposing corruption of our elections and so forth. But then what am I but a plankton in terms of social influence? The big fish in this battle for election integrity, Donald Trump and his top supporters, are another story, as you all know. One of those top supporters has been former New York City mayor and renowned former federal prosecutor Rudy Giuliani, who was recently fired from his longtime WABC radio program in New York for talking about election fraud. Giuliani has vowed to continue his show on other social media such as Rumble.com. On episode 410 of his show, broadcast on Rumble.com and elsewhere, May 17, Giuliani, along with celebrating his 80th birthday, hosted a brief talk by Republican strategist Caroline Wren on election matters. This came as a breath of fresh air for me. Let's watch and listen to her talk.
Welcome back.
You caught me. This is Rudy Giuliani. We're back with America's Mayor Live. This is, I guess, one of my 80th birthday celebration put on by all these wonderful people that you've seen so far. Dr. Maria, Ted,
Caroline,
and Steve and Roger. And now we have the incomparable Caroline Wren.
This is wonderful.
You want her on your side, baby. You don't want her on the other side. You're going to lose.
Caroline,
thank you.
Thank you for having me, and happy birthday.
Well, God bless you for saying that. But most of all, thank you for fighting so hard for our republic to save it. And tell us where you think we are and what people have. I mean, this woman is in the trenches every
right.
day.
And
she has a certain perspective on it. You're talking to people like Bannon and Stone and this woman. They know what's going on. And I know you want to win it really bad. So let's listen to them.
Well, first off, I'm glad you actually called us what we are, which is a republic, because I'm so sick of the media constantly saying that we're a threat to democracy. Well, democracy. Yeah. Come on, everyone.
This is an old mayor trick.
Shh.
Okay.
No, I'm glad that you actually called it what we are, which is a republic. And the media always tells us that we're all a threat to democracy. Well, democracy is two wolves and one lamb deciding what to have for lunch. And we are a
Jefferson,
republic.
Hamilton and Madison would agree with you.
Yes, correct. And so I love that you said that. But
we're not allowed to talk about that.
Right now, I heard a little bit earlier of your segment. I know we're all excited about Trump's crowd sizes. I was excited about them in 2020. I was excited about them in 2016. I was excited about the crowd sizes for Kerry Lake in 2022. Guess what? Crowd sizes don't equal the votes that the Democrats know that they need and have to steal on Election Day. Steal is a relative term. I like to use the term bought. They purchased these votes and they purchased them early. I always say that we did not lose the election in November of 2020. We lost it between March and August of 2020 when Mark Zuckerberg and a team of lawyers with Mark Elias systematically went in and changed all of our voting laws right in front of our face, by the way, and infused $600 million of private funding into our public election systems. Well, guess what? We're in that window right now. We're in that March to August window, and they're doing it the same. And while I love that we're having massive rallies on beaches in New Jersey, what are we doing to stop what they're doing right now to change our election laws in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona? And let me give you a few examples. They right now, the Medicaid offices in each of these swing states are registering illegal voters, and that is a fact. We are trying to get into different lawsuits. In fact, Governor McMaster is bringing one through a red state, which is a smart way to do it.
My friend for 50 years.
Wonderful.
I love I love McMaster.
But when you go and apply for Medicaid and you're not a citizen, you are given a Social Security card.
He won't bullshit you. He'll come.
He is. But you're given a Social Security card and they are automatically registering people to vote. And we have evidence of that in several states right now. That is happening right now. And that's an example of how they're stealing it in front of our face. And we are not doing enough to be in court and stopping it. Another example of this is Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan just passed an executive order to automatically register every single person who has been released from prison as a felon. These things are happening right now while we are having big rallies on beaches. And I'm not, I mean, I love the Trump team and everything else, but I'm sitting here up at night worried about this stuff. Another thing, in Arizona, the Secretary of State and Governor's Office announced a joint election task force to pay universities to based off how many students they get registered, which is, by the way, illegal. You can't do, but they're using our federal tax dollars, and they partnered with an Arabella Advisors 501c3 to do it.
Tell them what that is.
So Arabella Advisors is probably the most dangerous weapon. In 2004, the Democrats had lost the House, Senate, and presidency, and so George Soros called a meeting of the top 30 donors who had funded it and said, hey, we're not going to fund this anymore. You keep losing elections for us, and come back to us with an idea that actually invest our money in people, ideas, and institutions that'll live beyond a single election cycle. And from that, you got something called Democracy Alliance and Arabella Advisors. We are now, I guess, 20 years out of that meeting. It's the most consequential meeting of all time. The left moves all of their money through nonprofits and non-disclosed entities, and they've weaponized nonprofit giving to win elections. And we are 70% of the country. They are 30%, but they're dictating who is in office right now because they have weaponized the system. Arabella Advisors is the entity behind that.
And that is a Soros-funded
entirely
operation. By the way, a desecration of a great Strauss opera, Arabella. Yeah. But screw him.
Yeah.
The guy loves to say that you're anti-Semitic if you criticize him. Actually, you're anti-Semitic if you don't criticize him.
Yeah.
He once said that I was anti-Semitic for criticizing him, and I said, I'm a better Jew than he is.
Right.
And they were afraid to ask me why. Well, I'll tell you why, because I haven't killed Jews.
Well, it's laughable that any Democrat would accuse us of being anti-Semitic at this point, since they openly support Hamas and actually want to bring those people into our country, the citizens. So,
and the evil man.
No.
And so what are we doing? How are we combating this?
Well, in traditional Republican terms, we are doing nothing that I've seen. But actually, there are a lot of us who have a fire lit under us right now. So one important thing that we're doing is we've actually started. It's time we go on offense. Why are we always on defense? Yeah, are the majority of this country. I'm so sick of being on defense. So if you just saw, we announced a big whistleblower fund, by the way, $5 million whistleblower fund. If you work in an election office, you see any evidence of an election crime happening, please contact us, because this is where we're going to start doing them, by the way, by state in each of the swing states, because a lot of these mules that you see, they really are actually not that politically active. They're just paid $10 per ballot. You know, we'll offer you $15 per ballot. And it's time to start. Let's fight fire with fire. For the love of God, if we're not going to win these lawsuits, the justice system is, you know about the justice system being compromised. Let's play their game. You know what? In Michigan, they just passed. If you apply for a chauffeur's license, you get automatically registered to vote. Okay, how about this? How about if you apply for a gun license, a hunting license, a boating license, a fishing license, we automatically register you to vote?
Caroline Wren said she knew the opposition was watching and listening to her talk, and she didn't want to disclose too much of what she knows and wants to do regarding election integrity, but she promised to return to Rudy Giuliani's show in the near future with more info and updates. As she said, it's great that Trump could show huge crowds at his rallies, but it all means nothing unless we can ensure election integrity. As you will see shortly, there is concern that should Donald Trump, by some miracle, win the 2024 election, the left will unleash mass rioting and other destruction to prevent Trump being sworn in again as president. I'm worried that Biden could declare martial law and nullify the election. Also, without Republicans, real Republicans, winning both houses of Congress, Trump will have a hard time getting a lot done to save our country. But at least we have some smart people now actually working for real election integrity. Recall that former Republican National Committee Chair Ronna Romney Rhino Biden 1 McDaniel was a disaster in terms of promoting election integrity while paying yourself a high salary and outspending the Democrats on things like floral arrangements. Now let's move on to the continuing disaster at our border. Here's a short video of a boat of illegal migrants storming ashore at a popular San Diego, California beach as stunned beachgoers look on. This video was played on Britain's Daily Mail, May 13. This is just the beginning of what we'll be witnessing on a massive scale if Joe Biden and company succeed in accelerating their surge at our borders. Here's a band.video clip from the Alex Jones Show. It's from the Bown Report by John Bown and was posted on or about May 10 on Jones' Infowars.com.
I would, in fact, make sure that there is, we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard.
They deserve to be heard.
Biden gets rid of the border 3.5 years ago. 20 million people are here. That's the real number, 22 million. They're slaves of the globalists, a new permanent underclass. He tells them immediately, surge the border if he wins. They get here. He says, oh, the border's not broken. He says, oh, it is broken. Pass amnesty. And then yesterday he comes out and says, oh, we can't have it illegal to come here. It's moral, just is totally open.
Can you imagine a kid 2 years old saying, Mom, don't take me across Rio Grande. It's against the law. Give me a break. These have been model citizens.
Imagine telling a kid it's illegal to come across the border, which it is, which he's made legal by fiat, and they're model citizens. They're citizens the minute they get here.
Do you think there are people that are coming over that have the intent to do our neighbors, our friends, our family members harm?
Absolutely. There's huge give up groups that we're getting. You know, the media is only reporting what they can report on, right? Which is, statistically speaking, a small percentage of the actual bad guys that we're catching. No one is coming to protect you. Even at the local law enforcement level, we do not control the border. The cartel controls the border. Everything that we do is a reaction to things that they have planned. Usually we're chasing around pawns while the kings and queens are doing whatever they want.
Think about the magnitude of what he just said, the lawlessness of it. They're going to grab your junk. They're going to search your family. They're going to put you through a body scanner at the airport. But the border is wide open. Absolutely insane. They stole the election 3.5 years ago. They're planning to steal it again.
Does the investigation confirm that there are missing ballot images?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know why 380,761 ballot images from Election Day machine count are not available?
Those are for the recount.
Those are from the recount. But we have no ballot images for 380,761 ballots from Election Day, correct?
What was subpoenaed was the ballot images for the recount because that's what this case was about. Not the election day.
Does Fulton County know why there are not 380,761 ballot images from election day?
According to news sources, a Wisconsin government employee has been fired from her government job for helping to rig the 2020 presidential election in Joe Biden's favor. We have a documented email from one of her coworkers by the name of Ryan Chu. He wrote on November 4th at 4:07 a.m., "Damn, Claire, you have a flair for drama, delivering just the margin needed at 3 a.m. I bet you had those votes counted at midnight and just wanted to keep the world waiting."
There's a large influx. There's even a bigger influx now. In terms of Hispanic voters, Hispanic citizens, want to become citizens. So it's just enormously important.
Now, if you're interested in learning more about hosting a migrant family, all you got to do is take out your phone, dial 211. It's as easy as that. You're going to be asked a few questions, things along the lines of how long are you able to host somebody? What kind of space are you available to provide?
These are the times that try men and women's souls. But this is the last gasp. All over the world, 83% was the number I saw last week. In regional, local, national elections, from Australia to El Salvador to you name it, Europe, patriots are getting elected. That's why the system is so scared.
The last of our video clips today is a compilation of segments of a new documentary, Weapons of Mass Migration, with host Joshua Phillip, who is also host of the Crossroads program on NTD TV. And this came out, I believe, May 9 on NTD.com.
Behind me is the San Diego border wall. What was once regarded as the best example of secure bordering in the United States. Now, this border wall section, it's now facing the same type of border crisis right here as the rest of the country.
We have open gaps here in San Diego, but they're just coming in.
According to statistics from Customs and Border Protection, around 7.2 million illegal immigrants entered the United States under President Joe Biden alone. What is actually causing this crisis? Why is the federal government stopping states from denying entry to illegal immigrants? Why are they being given free food and free housing, cash handouts, other benefits, instead of being deported? Why are our tax dollars being used to bring in illegal immigrants to the United States? What are the real reasons behind it? The American people have a right to know. And so my team and I set up to find the answers. And an investigation would take us all along the U.S.-Mexico border into the NGO bus drop-offs, through the United Nations operations, and into the camps in the jungles of Panama.
Unattended luggage.
Every step of the investigation has shown a different piece of how the mass migration into the United States is being coordinated. We know border agents have catch and release orders. Our own government is helping facilitate the operations in collaboration with the United Nations and various NGOs. But a big question still remains. Why are they doing this?
They're trying really to dismantle the border to bring in more Democrats so that they can do what they did in California, essentially turn a Republican state into a Democrat state with a perpetual majority that can never be challenged. There's no question about it. That's not speculation. Some of these people have gone on record and publicly talked about this. People close to Barack Obama.
It puts 12 million people on the path to citizenship and eventually voters. Can you imagine if we have even the same ratio? 2 out of 3, if we have 8 million new voters that care about our issue and will be voting, we will create a governing coalition for the long term.
But I think it goes much, much deeper than this. The objective, the primary objective, is to facilitate massive migratory flows to undermine the sovereignty of the nation state and really ultimately dismantle the nation state as a sovereign entity.
The UN's Global Compact for Migration explicitly respects national sovereignty, allowing for nations to regulate migration in their own territory. But according to researcher Alex Newman, that commitment is undermined by their broader ideology.
The Global Compact on Migration, in this compact, one of the guiding principles of the compact was actually, to summarize it in my own terms, to propagandize the target populations to believe that it is right and proper for them to accept essentially unlimited migration.
According to the United Nations' own videos, migration is inevitable, necessary, and desirable. And according to the United Nations documents, like the 2000 draft report by the UN Population Division, replacement migration was projected as a means to bolster declining native birth rates.
And I think when you really dig down, the ultimate objective was actually revealed by the former UN migration czar, the late Peter Sutherland.
The United States or Australia and New Zealand are migrant societies, and that therefore they accommodate more readily those from other backgrounds than we do ourselves, who still nurse a sense of our homogeneity and difference from others, which is precisely what the European Union, in my view, should be doing its best to undermine.
According to its officials like Peter Sutherland, migration to the West is necessary to develop a multicultural state.
The demographics are a key element in this debate and a key argument for, I hesitate to use the word because people have attacked it, for the development of multicultural states.
And so there are some places where you see these things coming to pass. Certain parts of Northern and Western Europe are good examples where now the native populations are literally in the minority in their own major cities. They're bringing in people so rapidly from all over the world, from all different cultures, all different backgrounds, all different religions. What does it mean to be a nation anymore? So when you facilitate these enormous migratory flows, you undermine people's, first of all, attachment to not just their nation, but also their nation state. And this facilitates the emergence of first regional governance and then global governance, which is the ultimate objective. And these are what's called soft law. There is no official way for the United Nations to impose this on us per se, right? There's no court that could say, well, the United States isn't complying with its obligations under this compact, and so we're going to sanction it. But as this body of soft law is built up, it provides government bureaucracies with guidance, and over time, it starts being incorporated into court rulings, it starts being incorporated into the domestic regulatory apparatus, and even into statutory law. And pretty soon, you're bound by these things, even though it was never ratified in the appropriate manner.
We've bound our power to international laws and institutions. I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, binding ourselves to international rules over the long term enhances our security.
You know, I'm looking at multiple layers of the agenda because, you know, I've been researching, of course, what's happening, but I want to know why it's happening. And I'm looking at a few different layers. I believe so far that there's a U.S. layer, there's a U.N. layer, and there's kind of a global communist layer to it.
Recently, there's been a significant uptick of Chinese nationals crossing the border, some 30,000 in the past 4 months. The Clan del Golfo cartel, Colombia's largest narco-trafficking gang, have even made border crossing advertisements for Chinese migrants. And when we visited the small Embera Indian town of Puerto Limon, we found shops heavily catering to Chinese migrants.
So this is Puerto Limon between two of the main migrant camps. This is a waypoint. This one seems to be really catering to the Chinese. This is all the different Chinese foods they have, ramen, drinks, and everything else. But this sign is something really important. This one here that we found, it's in Chinese, so it's catering, of course, to the Chinese. It tells them that from the village to the United States, that they can take care of everything. And you can pay here for every single waypoint they claim. It even has the contact information. So this organization claims to be basically facilitating this.
Chinese social media platforms have hashtags providing advice on the overland journey through Latin America to the United States. The FBI has documented thousands of cases of Chinese nationals being investigated for or found guilty of spying.
Now, of course, many of these people will genuinely be looking for a better life, but many of them will be coming for subversive purposes. Many of them, as we've seen already with what's happening on the border right now, will be special operators from various militaries around the world, including the People's Liberation Army in China. There is a fifth column in the United States that absolutely wants to destroy this country, that is passionately dedicated, as Rich Higgins, the director of policy and planning on the National Security Council, said during Trump, to the destruction of the United States, not just as a nation, but even as an idea. And to do that, you have to bring in people who would serve as a catalyst to that process. And I believe that's a big part of what's going on. We've had congressional hearings where they've talked about special forces from communist China coming across that border. Why are they doing this? Well, they want to bring down the United States.
The Chinese are not just using their own migrants as a weapon of mass migration, but as our research team discovered, the CCP is also financing the migration's nuclear bomb. Infrastructure projects that will complete the Pan-American Highway.
And that's a huge difference for the United States and for all the Americas, right? So this is, and actually there's a book that was written by CCP, but through a Panamanian economist. It's in Spanish, but I got it in English as well. And it talks about, in there, about going through the Darien and, you know, basically opening it up.
Wow. Well, that makes sense because China's doing all these, aside from maybe their interest in mass migration, they've been trying to gain control of the Panama Canal.
The CCP already has a foothold throughout Latin America with its extensive Belt and Road Initiative. It has a stake in multiple ports and railways and has forged military partnerships with several countries. U.S. leaders have grown increasingly wary of the military implications of Chinese infrastructure projects, particularly around the Panama Canal. A highway through the Darien Gap stands to both diminish the importance of the Panama Canal and much more easily facilitate mass migration to the United States.
CCP is down there in Ecuador and other places working on ports and this sort of thing in Costa Rica, what they're doing in Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, and whatnot. But the bottom line is the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, is making a go for all of Central America.
Something else stood out in my research. The agenda to create a so-called multipolar world order, which requires the destruction of the so-called unipolar world order, the current global system led by the United States. The narrative has been echoed by leaders in many parts of the world, including many in the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and from Russian President Vladimir Putin to CCP leader Xi Jinping. It raises a key question of whether mass migration also ties into the agenda for a so-called multipolar world order. One of the narratives that you hear from Vladimir Putin, from Alexander Dugin, from Xi Jinping himself, is this idea of a multipolar world order. And they keep saying that in order to create the multipolar world order, they first need to take down the unipolar world order, a reference, of course, to the United States. Can you explain to me the understanding of Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin as it relates to this multipolar world order agenda?
Well, the multipolar world agenda is a euphemism for destroying the United States. There will not be, if the United States is taken down, there will not be a multipolar world from that time. There will not be all these different centers of power around the world. There will be one. It'll be basically a combination of Russia and China dictating to everybody around the world.
How does this mass migration agenda relate to this multipolar world order agenda?
Well, you know, you've got, see, basically the main pole in the world right now is the United States and its European allies. The big pole in the tent pole is the United States. If you can collapse that pole by bringing millions of illegals into United States who have no particular loyalty to the American system, to change the demographics, to change the voting patterns, to create chaos, health issues, terrorism incidents, riots, just basic civil chaos, which means that Iran, Russia, China can have a field day. We'll see chaos on a global scale until America is extinguished and the power shifts completely to the east. So this whole scheme of multipolar thing is a euphemism for destroying the United States and shifting the unipolar world east to another pole, which will be way, way, way harsher than anything we've ever seen out of America.
As our investigation draws to a close, several key points stand out. Yes, the United Nations is playing a heavy hand in running the border crisis. NGOs are being used as the boots on the ground to carry out many of these programs. The United Nations and the NGOs are being suspiciously secretive about this. This, of course, explains what we're watching on the surface, the migrant caravans, the buses and planes moving people in the dead of night. In reality, this is all happening because our elected leaders agreed to it. It's being facilitated. And at the same time, there are many special interests at play. Potential impacts on our elections. Global socialist programs on equity and shared global governance. And even hostile agendas to degrade the United States. To weaponize migration. Despite all of this, and despite the incredible scale of it all, voters are being kept in the dark. We're not being told directly about these agreements. The American people and all others in the world watching this, they deserve to know why.
It's hard for me to believe that there are probably millions of people in this country so brainwashed by the leftist-dominated establishment, with ongoing powerful support and influence from the CCP, that actually believe that this staggering mass migration is actually a good thing for their hated America. As you saw and heard Alex Newman state, there are hardcore left-wingers today who so hate America, as we have known it, that they want even the idea of America obliterated from history. These imbeciles have no idea what they're wishing for and working for, as many of them will surely perish along with the rest of us under the totalitarian system they are so longing for. Do you remember the scene, when the movie came out, it was decades ago, but do you remember the scene in the movie Dr. Zhivago, where actor Alec Guinness, at the beginning of the movie, playing a Bolshevik official, visits a mansion right after the Bolshevik Revolution and takeover of Russia? This home was being inhabited by dozens of poor people who had forcibly moved in, and the original family inhabiting the structure were given something like one room they were allowed to stay in. This is exactly what's in store for America with Biden's border surge. I believe, anyway. And I'm sure many others do. Imagine 30 or 50 million or more of these illegals, homeless and demanding better living accommodations, roaming our streets and demanding we let them into our homes. As the border agent in our previous video stated, no one is coming to help you. A friend and former coworker from China related to me a few years ago of his upper-class grandmother's experience right after the bloody communist revolution in China in 1949. She, too, was given one room to live in her former home, which had been taken over by poor people under communist government seizure of her property. As a perceived oppressor, she was required to work under a forced labor program termed Lao Gai, reform by hard work. And she had to recover bodies of executed opposition people that had been thrown into a river to humiliate their families. These decomposing bodies were then dragged ashore for mass burial. She became very ill doing this ghastly work, my friend and former coworker related, and it was only after her husband, then outside the country, provided the communists with a great deal of money that she was allowed to travel to Hong Kong for medical treatment and then escape to the USA. This is what is coming for us, and this is what is actually being pushed for by these evil maniacs working so diligently to complete the Marxist-Communist takeover of America. You know what Mao Zedong said, if people are going to die, they're going to die. And die they did in China. According to estimates I've seen, somewhere between 40 and 70 million Chinese were murdered by the communists through executions, starvation, and famines, and other means such as being worked to death. Do you really believe this couldn't happen here? My friends, I have never, and I'm sorry to say this, but I have never been so worried and terrified about the future as I am now. I wish I could convey words of optimism about our collective future to you, but at this time at least, I just don't have a lot of confidence in that. And I sure would love to be proven wrong. I'm hoping I'll feel better about our prospects for the future in the coming months leading up to the election in November. But for now, at least, I don't think I'm being unrealistic about the dangers we as a people are facing. I want to say again on my programs that it's absolutely imperative for all of us to get, all of us freedom lovers, real freedom lovers, to vote, and even more importantly, get involved in efforts to secure true election integrity in your area. This is likely our last chance to change the course of our nation back toward its true freedom, toward true freedom and prosperity, as I see it. That's all for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of interest and value. And again, sorry to be negative here at the end, so negative. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of our show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com and elsewhere. Look for us again 2 weeks from now with another show in the same time slot. Have a good rest of your day and evening.